Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
An ode to joy indeed, and joy abounds, because this, my friends, is Eurovision Song Contest week. From this chair, you hear podcasts on football, on racing, on golf, but ultimately, this is the one that matters most. The great Eurovision Song Contest of 2019, taking place this weekend on Saturday evening in Israel. And joining us to preview the Eurovision this year, alongside myself, Lee Mottershead, we have on the line the Racing Post Eurovision expert, Stephen Cass from Paddy Power, Darren Jordan, and in the studio here from ITV Racing, Mark Johnson. Mark, some people will be surprised to see you in this chair talking about Eurovision. Why are you here?
I am a huge Eurovision fan, and I'm also a fan of betting on Eurovision. And I'd like to think over the years it's been a little bit of a holiday fund, looking at all the various markets. And obviously one thing I think we're going to really hopefully get the point across to everyone is that it's not just trying to find the winner. In fact, the value might not be in trying to find the winner. It's to try and get the value out of who's going to finish in the top 10, who may finish last, how are the UK or Ireland going to do. There are lots and lots of various different things to do, but I just simply love it. I fell in love with it with a certain Terence Wobegon, Terry Wogan, one of the great broadcasters of our time. I always say, when I sit in a seat like you and I'm presenting maybe on Racing TV or on ITV, I still have Terry in my mind. Sometimes I think some of the lines about referring to the viewer. He was the first guy who ever referred to the viewer, not viewers, made it very personal. Yeah. And I think Graham Norton's done a great job taking over a mantle that was a very difficult baton to pick up. But no, Terry Wogan, sitting there with your mum and dad watching it in the early in the early years. Oh, great TV.
And favourite Eurovision song?
The year after ABBA, 1975, Ding A Dong by the Dutch group, Teaching. That was a very, very good song. So yeah, Ding A Dong I thought was excellent, and it's slightly overshadowed by Waterloo the previous year. And I also liked Amelia de Forest's entry a few years ago, Only Teardrops. I thought that was very, very good as well.
Stephen, would you concur with Mark's view that the punting on the Eurovision is far from just about the winner?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Now, I do love the winner market myself, because I love anywhere. We're in the main horse racing people. If someone told you you can bet on a race where there's only 8 to 10 real contestants and you're getting a quarter of the odds for, that's manna from heaven. Powers are even doing 5/5. So I do love the win market, but I also love the semi-finals markets, the top 10s, the match bets, the bets that will come up then, the novelty ones that I think will come up and they'll price wrong on Friday morning. I love those. So it's really Friday morning that there'll be loads and loads of shoulder markets come out. So you actually have to log on to the different bookmakers, Paddy Power, etc., to see what markets they're pricing. And there's loads of ricks, so it's heaven.
And Sim, before we get the prices from Darren, just to what extent, when we look at the outright market in a second, to what extent is the Eurovision market one in which you can be pretty confident the winner and the place performers will come from towards the top of the market? How often do we actually get a real springer, a contender that no one has really expected to do well, figuring prominently?
I would say very frequently. So we're recording this Tuesday. If you're listening to it on Friday, the market's going to be fairly bang on the money after the semi-finals. Probably three of the top four in the betting will finish in three of the top four places. Yeah. But there could be a big swing in what those three or four are after the semi-finals. For example, Ukraine were 25-40-1 at this stage when they won. Australia, when they finished second with Dami Eam, were 25-1. I remember back in Austria for my sister when Conchita won, they were 50-1 a week before the event, and they were 6 or 7-1 for the semi-final alone. In the morning of the semi-final, they were 16s. So definitely could get a springer. If you're listening on Friday morning, Friday afternoon, the market's going to be extremely efficient and you want to be looking to the top of the market by then. You might have room for one to get into the top four, but I'd be wary of backing them each way by then. I'd be more thinking have a top four or top five bet, because if they're 20 to one, they're very unlikely to actually get top spot. So don't bet twice at that stage. Maybe just have one top five or top 10 bet on your fancy at bigger odds.
Okay, and favourite Eurovision song?
Probably Blanche, City Lights. It's only a couple of years old, finished fourth, should have won with better staging, but that, and then of the Irish ones, Rock and Roll Kids.
And how do you feel about my personal favourite, Lad It Svinge with Bobby Socks?
Let It Svinge, Let It Rock.
That's
and
a belting song, isn't it? Yeah. And I'm still not over the fact that One Step at a Time went in for Michael Ball. I thought that was
a lot better than its finishing position.
Yeah, that was a very good song. Yeah. Darren Jordan, how is this year's Eurovision market looking at this stage as we record on Tuesday lunchtime before the first of the semi-finals?
Hello guys, how's it going? So currently we're offering five places at fifth, as Stephen's already mentioned. Current favourite is Netherlands at 9-4, Sweden next in at 9-2, Russia and France both at 7-1, Australia at 9-1, and Azerbaijan at 10-1.
And Darren, favourite Eurovision song?
It's a toss-up between Rock and Roll Kids, 94, and Euphoria, 2012, Lorraine. Absolutely.
Yeah, banter. Euphoria was stunning. I've got that on my my gym playlist, Euphoria. It's very good indeed. So, if we look now at the leading contenders, Mark Johnson.
Yes.
I'm not your toy, you stupid boy. Are we expecting this year's leading contender, well, actually it's Netherlands, it wouldn't have the same deep and meaningful lyrics as Netta from 12 months ago?
I will answer this a little bit like Nigel Farage and avoid answering that question.
Right.
And say this is a stronger and deeper contest this year.
Okay.
I don't think it was a classic last year. Yeah. I think there's a lot better songs in this. If you love James Bond.
Yeah.
And you love Sam Smith, you will absolutely adore the Netherlands. It is probably the best song in the contest.
It is the best song, isn't it?
I think it is. Yeah. It's the one song in the whole contest that you could see actually being a massive international hit. It is very Sam Smith did the James Bond theme for Spectre. And even the video of him swimming... It just smacks of a highly produced James Bond theme. He performs it very well. Their staging hasn't been great in the rehearsals.
Better second time round.
Lot better second time round. His eye contact with the camera isn't great. He looked better on the video than he actually does sat behind a piano actually singing. He has got a great voice. As you say, the song resonates. As I was on the train coming to the studio this morning, I was humming the riff. I mean, it's there. You can't get it out of your head. Once it's there, it's there. It's one of those that's going to be chiselled in. He's the right favourite. He should be favourite, and he might win. This is not giving anything away. He might win. He's not going to be the selection, but whatever beats the Netherlands will win this Eurovision Song Contest, and maybe nothing will.
Stephen, solid, strong favourite?
Very strong favourite. I agree with Mark in the sense of last year that there's better songs towards the top of the market, but I don't agree that... I think last year it definitely was down to Israel and to Cyprus with Fuego. I think the winner was going to come from those two, whereas this, I think there's five or six good ones in behind, but the Netherlands is miles ahead. It's by a mile the best song of the contest. It's by a mile the most radio friendly. It's elegant, it's emotional, it's contemporary. If they don't balls up the staging, this will win. And I know what you're saying about the staging, but even during those rehearsals on Betfair, say it drifted from sort of 3.5 to 4.3. It's not like the market was going, this is incredibly bad staging. And the problems with it, Mark is right, the problems in rehearsals was engaging Duncan Lawrence. We should say it's Duncan Lawrence Arcade is the artist in the track, engaging Duncan with the camera. When it's such simple staging with him at the piano and the light bulb over him, it should be pretty easy to resolve your camera angles and get him looking down the camera. That, like, you know, there's no dancing going on. They're keeping it simple because it's the best song. I think they should be able to fix the small issues they're having. And if they are, I think it's absolutely streets ahead. And it's a good thing if they fix it.
And what sort of price, Stephen, would you be happy to back? What's like the base price that Netherlands should be for this Eurovision?
I know we were told let's not talk about the semi-finals beforehand, but you have to see the semi-final on Thursday night. The podcast coming out Tuesday. Hopefully most people will have heard it. If you see the semi-final on Tuesday night and the market reacts well, even money would be a good price on Friday morning. But I'd probably be happy to back the 6-4 for the semi-final now rather than the 9-4 for the final now, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And Darren, you all over the favourite?
It's definitely a worthy favourite. And of the top six, it would be what I'm most likely to go for. I just have a few concerns with how favourites have performed in recent years. Yeah, I know Israel was the favourite for the majority of the time last year, but Cyprus actually went in into the Saturday. They went off favourite. To 2017, Italy went off favourite. They finished sixth. 2016, Russia went off favourite. They finished third. Same singer this year, Sergei Lazarev. So that's my concern, that I don't know if there's an expectation with the favourite tag. Maybe the televoters are expecting a bit more, and maybe there's a bit of tactical voting from the juries of the other countries who are up there. If you know this country is most likely to win, then you might not give it your top vote. So there might be a bit of that involved. I think running order, where they're positioned in the final, could have a bit of an impact. If they're early on, or if they kind of come before, maybe a song like Iceland, it could get forgotten about, but it could make it stand out more. But I do think the running order could be decisive for them.
On the running order, I wouldn't worry the slightest bit about that, because the way it works is after the semi-finals, you draw whether you're in the first half or the second half. Ideally, you're in the second half. But if you are drawn in the first half, the producers then place you somewhere. So they'll place the Netherlands. If the Netherlands, say, for argument's sake, are drawn in the first half, they will. There's going to be 26, so that's 1 to 13. They will place them 11, 12, between 10 and 13, 10, 11, 12 or 13. And there's no way they'll put Iceland before them. I know what Darren's saying, but they wouldn't do that to the favourite in the contest. They'll almost build that slot around them. Israel have won from there. Portugal have won from there. It's no problem. If you're a favourite and you get drawn in the bottom half, you don't have to worry about it.
It's basically fixed.
I'm still convinced that Sweden are the producers' pick. They want Sweden to win. So I wouldn't be completely surprised if Netherlands were shafted with a poor running order. It's unlikely, but there's a chance of it.
What makes you say that the producers pick Sweden?
I don't want to get myself in trouble here now, but I just think they're keen on Sweden coming up to and overtaking Ireland's record-winning wins of seven. Sweden are on six, I believe, at the moment. And I just think that there's been a bit of bias towards them in recent years. Their current outright price is a bit puzzling for me at the moment. They look really short.
Mark, what do you think about the Swedish song?
It's a bit different. I never thought I'd get a spiritual song put up by Sweden.
It's quite gospely, I thought.
Very gospel, yeah, spiritual gospel, whatever. Yeah. It's very different. There's nothing like it in the show. The performance is good. I think it's a song that tends to grow on you as well. First time I heard it, I thought, this doesn't really work in a Eurovision context. But then you look at one or two of the winners over the last few years and you're thinking, yeah, this might be the time that something gospel comes in and go, yeah, I could see this happening. The guy's got a very good voice. The backing singers are excellent as well. It's as a rounded performance, it's probably one of the better performances put up. I could see it running well. I just want to say one other thing about Holland, though, just before we move on. Obviously, there are lots of polls throughout Europe. They start first week in January, and it is significant. One of the most major polls has the Netherlands at the highest point that any favourite has come in, or any top-rated poll has come in, going at this stage of a Eurovision for many, many years. The highest rated on the poll last year was Israel at 18%. Previous year, the winner at 16%. At the moment, Netherlands has polled 21%. And that's incredible. That's one in five pollsters have put put the Netherlands up. Now, if that poll is to be believed, as the guys were saying earlier on, if the semi-final goes well, anything odds against is probably looking a very good price.
And Stephen, again, we do hear and read lots about polls going into the Eurovision. Is that stat that Mark read out there, the 21% stat, is that something, again, that you'd give a lot of weight to?
It depends. What poll was that, Mark? Was that the Wee Wee Blogs one? Or
the one that's linked to ESC Extra.
Okay, because the OGAE poll, which is the kind of the fan clubs poll, they had Italy coming first, beating Switzerland and then the Netherlands. But those three, it was almost a dead heat for first, with the rest nowhere. Now, that was 2 weeks ago. I don't pay too much attention to the polls because I've seen some... I've seen a kind of an academic paper talking about the polls and doing some kind of what would you call them? Sorry, I'm losing my train of thought with economics. I can't remember when they do the tests. But anyway, the correlation wasn't that high with the end result. So no, I don't pay too much attention to the polls. I think if someone's looking for something for a quick fix, watch the rehearsal videos is your best bet, and listen to good podcasts like ESC Insight. Obviously, listen to us.
Yes.
Europhoria and those ones. I'd put more credence in what people on the ground are saying than the polls. But I can see that's I'm not a pollster, and that's interesting what Mark is saying.
Stephen, just going back to the Swedish song then, this up-tempo gospel-y number, what's your view on that one?
I don't think it's contemporary enough to contend. His vocals are very good, but it'd kind of be a default winner if the Netherlands blew it. And, France can be a bit weak vocally. And if Australia's stage show doesn't wash with the jurors kind of a thing, it'd fall into it if it won. You know, it'd be a disappointing year if Sweden won. And I don't think it is a disappointing year.
And we carry on with you, Stephen. Then Paddy Power next in the market, Russia and France at 7-1. Of those two, I quite like the Russian one. It was growing on me. Mark mentioned James Bond earlier on. I thought the Russian song feels very Bond-themey.
But yeah, personally, I don't think Russia has any chance. I don't see. There's no chorus, which is a major problem. It's sort of a negative feel to it as well. I don't see why anyone's going to vote for it. It's been drifting in the betting. I always kind of anti-Russia anyway because they just throw money at the thing. But I don't see it, and I think it could easily not be in the top four, which is the same that could be said of Sweden. So there's going to be some each way value there somewhere if you can find it. But I don't like Russia. You mentioned France as well. I think the French song is very good, but I think they're over egging the pudding with this positivity message. So when people see this on Saturday night, basically Bilal is a guy, he's a YouTuber and influencer, and he's kind of got a Conchita vibe in that he's almost quite cross-dressing, but not quite. He kind of dresses quite feminine. He looks amazing, but he has this, I think it's, I'm trying to think of a good way of putting it, but he has a sort of an oversized ballerina dancing around him, and it's all about inclusivity and stuff. And I think people are a little tired of that message because we've been having that message. I don't mean in that it's a bad message. It's a great message, but it's been done at Eurovision a lot in recent years. So I think the jurors will cotton on to that and maybe won't put France up as high as the market is thinking. And also in the national finals, his vocals were shocking. And it's a huge worry with France on the night with the nerves, whether he can vocally hold it together. So Russia and France could win, Russia can't, but I don't think France are value at sevens.
Darren, you agree with that?
Yeah, just to touch on Sweden once more, I think they're going to do really well with the jury vote. Similar song won the jury vote last year, Austria's entry, but I just can't see them doing well with the televote with that one. So I'd expect them to be right up there halfway through the results show, but then just get overtaken by a number of other countries. On Russia, I wouldn't be overly surprised to see it win, just because they always do better than they should with the televote. But Thunder and Lightning, Sergei was entered into the contest in 2016. I think that was a better song, and it got beaten by Ukraine. France, I'd agree with what Stephen says. It's vocally iffy, and I think people might be a bit tired of the message, and also only one auto qualifier, which is the big five in the host country, has won since 2004, and that was Germany in 2010, with Lena Satellite. That was a pretty poor year, so I think that only having one live performance is a bit of a bit, might make France struggle a bit more there.
Mike, do you agree with that? That if you're not in the semi-finals, there's less chance for momentum to build behind an act?
I think it's very, very hard. I think it's very, very hard now. I think the way that it's, I think the way that the voting happens now with the jury vote and with the telecast vote, and the fact that you have to, it's a bit like a football team trying to qualify for a European Championships or for a World Cup. I think you actually build up that momentum of the team playing together, therefore the artist and the whole of their entourage working towards a qualification, and then if you like, once you qualify, you can almost relax going into the final itself. I think it's very hard. I think it's extremely hard to build up the momentum now if you're an automatic qualifier.
And just for going to the break, Russia and France, your views on those two?
Russia should have won with a million voices probably when Mons won for Sweden a few years ago.
I won't hear a word had it said against Mons.
Well, that was probably the best year there's been for about 20 years. So I think you could have finished fourth that year and you would have won an average year. Sergei's already finished third in this, and he's singing almost the same song, exactly the same as he finished third in 2016. I think he could hit the board. I think he could easily place. I think he might be one, if you were trying to nick a bit of each way, I could see him maybe finishing the top four or five, but I couldn't see him winning. As for France, again, you're almost getting that Mons thing. You're getting a guy who is known as a TV presenter and as an overall TV performer, as well as being a singer. Yeah. Problem is, he's just not as good as Mons. I think it's almost trying too hard, as the guys have already said. France are trying too hard to make some sort of political statement, and I think it might not resonate either with the jury or with the televote. One thing we ought to say about France are taking a slightly different route than they often have done in the past. France is one of the countries that have never, ever gone away from singing in French. This is half sung in French and half sung in English. Is that a case of them going, we can't beat them, we might as well join them? And I think France are just trying too hard. I can't have it on my mind.
Not much love then for France across the panel. When you return, we will have outright picks for Eurovision 2019.
Friends, or maybe more, earn a 20 quid free bet for every friend you refer to Paddy Power, thanks to our Friends with Benefits programme. Log in to your Paddy Power account and share your referral link to get started. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to this Racing Post Eurovision postcast, and we're looking at the outright market before the break. Stephen Cass, we've mentioned so far the Netherlands, Sweden, Russia, France. Who have we not mentioned that you see as leading players in the outright market?
Ones we haven't mentioned, certainly there's been a lot of momentum behind Australia. I think they've been the big winner in the entire rehearsal process. So their act is a kind of a popper act with amazing vocals. Now, popper has tended to struggle with juries, but this is a slightly better, more contemporary song. There's a bit of dance in there as well. But it's their stage show. From what I've seen, the little bit I've seen in rehearsals, this is maybe going to be the best stage song we've ever seen at Eurovision. And while we're all talking about songs, like it's not called Euro Radio, it's Eurovision. Visuals and TV is almost first, then you have to have the song with it. So Australia could have the complete package. They're 9-1 now, the money keeps coming, but to be honest, I can't really see them outside of the five, so that's a nice each way bet. I just think they're really going to do well with the televote if the jurors don't hammer them, and the jurors could love it. Like, they could win because her vocal is so perfect that it's almost hard for the jurors to knock her down, even if they don't like that popper vibe. That's definitely worth watching and could win. Azerbaijan, there was a big move for her. It's really cool. It's Michael Jackson, but it's kind of messy staging, and I'm not sure it's good enough to win. One we haven't mentioned is Iceland, which could be, some people are comparing it to Lordi, but Lordi was a novelty act. Like, this is a proper song, proper hard rock, metal, mixed with kind of techno pop. I personally hate the hard rock bit and the shouting element to it. But if I hate it, it's a love-hate thing. So a lot of people will love it and vote for it. And the chorus is mesmeric. Like, it's amazing. I love it. So they are also, they're going to be the most talked about act in all the newspapers coming up to it, because they wear BDSM leather gear and stuff. And it's kind of an anti-capitalist message. It'll be popular. I don't think it'll do well enough with the juries, but that they're kind of the ones you'd want to be watching out for.
Yeah, I made notes here. So Iceland, techno dystopian performance art collective trying to bring down capitalism. That is a long way removed from Netta.
Well, yeah, but Netta was, you know, she'd eye-catching staging as well, and that's, like I said, that's half the battle, so...
On that one, Steve, on the staging thing, from what you've seen so far of the stagings in the rehearsals, are there big winners and losers?
Oh, Australia are the big winner, undoubtedly. Yeah, Iceland seemed to be doing an okay job. The Netherlands is interesting because they kept it so simple. Theirs is about the song, but that can work. Think Portugal 2017. The big losers, Russia have drifted slightly. Switzerland came with a kind of a really catchy, dancey pop number. They're gone out of contention. You can forget them. Your man can't dance. And the stage show is a shambles. They would have been third favourites coming into this week. They're gone now. And the other big loser is Italy, who were second favourite, I'd say, at the start of the week. And they're kind of out to the 14-16-1 mark. Italy are an interesting one, but I think the staging is a shambles. Like they've got three dancers behind Mahmoud. From what I've heard in rehearsals with Italy, he sounded very flat, but I think he had a cold. So, you know, maybe he wasn't trying in rehearsals. But like we were talking about earlier with momentum, Italy don't get to perform until Saturday night. The jurors know who they're going to vote for because they'll have voted on the semi-finals. So for him to slot himself right up the top of the jury scores is going to be next to impossible. So I think Italy are going to struggle from not having impressed in rehearsals. They'll be down the order. But we said the same thing last year with Italy, and I think they finished fourth, so they could spring a surprise. The one other interesting thing with Italy is I think Mahmoud did really, really badly in San Remo with the televote. So while it's kind of a chart-friendly song, it doesn't have a chorus, so it's not memorable. So just need to be conscious of how poorly he did with the televote if you're an Italy backer. Personally, I actually love the song, but look, you have to rule some in and rule some out, and I'm ruling them out on the back of rehearsals.
Mark, in terms of the outright market, who've you not mentioned so far that you'd want to give a positive word to?
I will say a little bit more positive about Switzerland than has already been said. I actually saw one of his rehearsals. I don't think he was that bad. I think he can sing and dance at the same time. Without doubt, it was one of the better videos coming into this Eurovision. And sometimes those polls and the early markets are obviously based around the videos, rather than what's going to happen live on the day. It all was very Latino, it was all very good, and now it's just basically him with four backing dancers, and it isn't as good a track as it was looking a month ahead of the contest. However, I think he's now drifted to such a price that he's definitely value. Switzerland, I could easily see taking a hand. The one thing I would say that we've talked about the draw. There are more solo artists in this year's draw than there's ever been in Eurovision. It's going to be very hard for the producers to actually make that final running order. We've already gone over how they come to the decision of who goes roughly where, but they're still putting a show together. It's still a running order, and they want to start the show with a real bang. They want to start it with a big number that's going to get people on their feet, get the audience going, and attract the TV audience as well. And unfortunately, there aren't that many songs in this year's Eurovision that fit that critique. And therefore, songs like Switzerland might find themselves absolutely stymied, the fact that they might be put into bat first. And the one thing you don't want to be is Jeffrey Boycott going in to open the batting, because if you do, you're effectively dead in the water. So that's a difficult one. I would give a mention to Greece, who come from the weaker of the two semi-finals. She has an interesting voice. It's not necessarily, I think, the most accessible song, but she might have a little bit of a squeak, I think. It's one of the ones that if you look at what's been happening over in Europe, it's one of the ones that's getting a lot of play on European radio, and it's one of the tracks that a lot of people in other countries outside of the Mediterranean are taking sort of to their hearts and going, I think this might do well.
Okay. Mark Johnson, one of your greatest ever achievements is getting Jeff Boycott into a Eurovision podcast. Okay. In terms of outright picks then, Darren, have you given your overall choice yet? Have you spoken about your outright pick?
I think Netherlands are the most likely winner, worthy favourite, but I'd be looking at a couple kind of double figure prices. I think we've mentioned Italy. I think they have a good each-way chance. It's been streamed 40 million times on Spotify, which is 25 million more than any else. So, well, I see Stephen's point about televoting, it does have a bit of backing already, whether they're Eurovision watchers and Eurovision voters who have listened to that. That's debatable, and that's probably the concern for me. But he won the jury vote in San Remo, so there's obviously something about the song that people like, so I'd be looking at them. Greece as well, they tend to do well with the televoting, so they're kind of about 25-1 at the moment, maybe a bit bigger, so they're probably worth each way plays. Australia is one of the more interesting ones, so they've came in from about 50-1, 66-1. I think they're great value at that. It's like a Frozen meets Wicked performance. It's vocally really strong. First listen, first view, you're kind of thinking, oh well, Australia have given up on the Eurovision. But then you listen to the song and it's actually really, really catchy. I'm a big fan of it. My only concern with Australia is how they've performed with the televote in recent years. So last year they got 170 odd points from the jury, but just 2 points, I think, from the televoting, and it was a similar case the year before. But this is a kind of a loved or hated song. A lot of young viewers will really like that. Whether they can persuade their parents to pick up the phone and vote for it is another thing, but I think that's got a good each way chance.
Stephen, at this stage, with the semi-final still to come, how confident are you that you know which country you'll be tipping in the Racing Post Saturday edition?
Yeah, supremely confident, I suppose, because I think the Netherlands are going to cakewalk Thursday night in the strongest semi-final. So they'll be going off something like 10-11, even money.
Yeah.
And I think that'll be a price. The one I do agree with, like, this market is crazy now. People that don't know Eurovision betting, like, or if they're new to it, if I said to you, Greece are 6-4 to win the semi-final, and Powers are 25-5. Powers are the right price. You can get 50-1 out there, a quarter of the odds four on Greece, and they're 6-4 to win a semi-final. Yeah. If they win the semi-final, it means the juries are flinging points at them, which they will be again on Saturday night. So 50-1/4 to win, like, Mark's right, the lads are right. Greece are a big price each way. So you could kind of take your pick on what kind of a bet you like to do, be it Greece at 50-1 each way, even though they probably can't win. The Netherlands now at 9-4 and take your chance. The show is perfect. Or Australia at 9. They'd be the three I'd be interested in. But yeah, what I'll tip on Friday for Saturday, it'll depend how the semi-finals go, but I'd be fairly confident it'll be the Netherlands.
And do you already know what your most caustic comment is going to be in those spotlight little vignettes? There's some belters in there every year.
I'm nearly going to steal whatever Mark said there about Frozen. That was a good one, but with Australia. Whatever Darren said. Do I know? I'd have to pull it up, Lee. I'm half written already, so I can't remember. Okay, so we'll have to leave
We'll save it. Yeah, we have a few surprises. And Mark, outright tips.
Outright tips. One I haven't mentioned. I've already backed them at huge prices to finish in the top 10 and also to finish in the top 4 is Norway.
Okay.
It's a proper Eurovision song. It even has Sami Yorkeling in, which, if for those who don't know, Norwegian singing is basically the native sort of lap singing. It's got drums, which you have to have.
Yeah.
It's got fireworks.
Yeah.
It's got lots of pyrotechnics, and they added more to the latest rehearsal, which was good to see. Okay. They've gone even bigger, an even bigger splash at the end. It's really catchy. It's one of those annoying songs that you go, oh yeah, I can't get it out of my head, which you want in the Eurovision. And at a huge price, I thought they'll hit the three. I think the Netherlands are the right favourite. I said before, whoever beats them will probably win, and maybe nobody will. And actually, I do believe that Switzerland, it's a bit of a leap of faith, but if they get a half decent draw, it could still be one of the more showy tracks on the show. And we ought to remember here, there are a couple of things I just wanted to say. One, we've got to remember who the halftime interval is.
Madonna.
And this is one of the tracks that's more of a, if I'm watching for Madonna, I'm going to watch, this is going to resonate with that kind of viewing public. And the other thing we ought to just mention is we've talked a lot about the jury vote and the telly vote. And when you've had a bet and you suddenly see that your selection is miles behind at halfway, when they say we're now halfway through the voting, it's a bit like having a bet in the Kentucky Derby. If you get a lot of early cheap speed, you're going to get the votes from the juries, the international experts who are voting. That's the cheap speed. The deep closers are the ones who get the public telly vote, and that brings them much closer together. You have to actually work out, very simply, as the guys have said, you've got to work out who's going to score really well with the juries, the pro voters, but also are going to appeal for the deep closers, which are the general public putting their votes in. And actually the point was made about Greece is a very good one, because it's probably going to score very high in both types of voting.
Okay. Darren, before we go to this commercial break then, we'll get the good guys' views on the two home nations, the United Kingdom and Ireland. It's fair to say, isn't it, that the bookmakers aren't expecting a great deal from them?
Yeah, bit of a can't win with these guys at 200-1, both of them at the moment. And yeah, they just haven't a hope, I'm afraid. Our Ireland's entry, she can't sing, it's a poor song, it's poor staging. It's got the worst draw in the semi-final too. I thought there was absolutely no chance of it qualifying, but I've heard she's actually sick this week. So maybe if she can't perform and we get a new entry in, that's probably our best chance of qualifying, to be honest. And then, yeah, the UK, it's Micah Rice performing for the UK. He's a good vocalist, but I'm afraid the song is as plain as Rice, so won't be winning.
Stephen, I thought with the UK entry, the chorus wasn't bad, but it takes ages to get to the chorus.
Yeah, it's a slow burn, and you've made up your mind whether you're voting for something or not by then. Do you know who wrote it, Lee?
No, who wrote it?
Sweden's John Lundvig, the Swedish act. The guy that's singing for Sweden wrote the UK song.
What a great statistic.
That's very good.
Really?
Now, and if he was singing Bigger Than Us and the UK were singing the John Lundvig song.
Yeah.
One, I can't remember the name of it now.
The gospel Swedish song. Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. Too Late for Love. Yeah. So if they would still be the same place in the betting. John Lundvig could still be second, third favourite. Yeah. And the UK would still be 250-1. Because Michael Rice, who appears like a lovely guy, he's got no charisma. It's a huge problem. I would have said the UK would be a real contender for last place. Oh. But in fairness to him, his vocals have been brilliant in rehearsals. So they're actually going to get some jury points. And they're going to do okay. He's doing a good job with a boring song.
Oh, dear.
I won't say that Michael Rice can't move on stage, but I've been to IKEA and seen pieces of furniture.
Oh, no. No.
It's terrible. I mean, we changed how we voted for the UK song this year. Yeah. It was more contrived than most things Eurovision, and the experts put wrong songs to wrong artists. I mean, honestly, could have got three people off the street and put a better show together. It was painful to watch.
Mons was very good though, wasn't he?
Mons was brilliant, as he always is. Yeah. I mean, I just hate him as a TV presenter because he's just too damn good.
He's very good.
Yeah, and as for Ireland, I mean, they actually she's had really bad toothache. They should actually take her tooth out live on stage, and the screaming may actually be better.
And with that lovely message, we end part two of this Eurovision postcast.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet the next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back, folks, as we come towards the end of our look at 29's Eurovision Song Contest with myself, Lee Mottishead, Mark Johnson from ITB Racing, and on the line, Stephen Cass and Darren Jordan from Paddy Power. Mark, before we get to looking at Nul Poix, who might finish last, what's the weird, the wacky and the wonderful this year?
Well, I suppose the headline maker will be the Statue of Liberty singing for Australia, which is pretty spectacular. Mm-hmm. We also have Croatia, the young lad who's singing for him. It looks like it's sort of he's just come out of an Edgar Allan Poe horror sort of movie. He's sort of got these huge wings.
Wings.
Yes, and it's really quite frightening, actually. Right. I mean, he looks a nice chap, but
the wings.
Wings don't do it. I'm a little disappointed because I'm not sure whether Portugal are going to have facial bling. Uh-huh. In the early rehearsals and when they actually won their vote to represent Portugal, they actually had lots of metal and gold all around them, huge fingernails, a metal beard. But that may have disappeared, so we'll have to wait to see what they're going to do. But yeah, there are one or two interesting shows to look forward to. Yeah.
Okay. Stephen, I thought Poland's outfits were quite interesting.
Yeah, the Poles always tend to pull something out of the fire. This song's interesting because it starts out brilliantly and it's a cross between Polish folk and the White Stripes, and it's really good. But then all of a sudden it goes nowhere. So. It really fades out and it just keeps going at the same pace all the time. Personally, I like it. It's kind of on the fence to qualify. Okay. The one before them, you have the best outfit of the whole night and they're not going to qualify, so you have to watch it. Actually, do you remember Sandstorm?
No.
How you do? Darude, Sandstorm. Okay, anyway, Darude is DJing for Finland tonight, and they've got a singer called Sebastian Rayman, and he's wearing leather trousers three quarters of the way up, black leather trousers, normal leather trousers, typical Eurovision, but then they're like a blue denim jean on the top half, like a pint of Guinness. Uh-huh. So of all the outfits, that's definitely my favourite.
And are there any of the acts that you when you've been watching in rehearsals and in sort of prep performances that have just you had on your knees in tears? Is there anything that you think, no, that cannot be allowed to happen on a Saturday night?
Yeah, but you kind of want those ones there in the
you
Saturday
do,
night.
Likes, you do, yeah, you do. Yeah.
The likes of San Marino say, na na na, like Sirhat really can't sing. You'd love to see him up there on the Saturday night and see San Marino in there. It's kind of the bland ballads and the Balkan ballads you just want out. They're really boring. Get them out. You know, it's the other ones kind of make Eurovision what it is, if you ask me.
Boo to the Balkan ballads. Darren, then, who are you tipping to come bottom?
I think Germany are going to be sure price favourites for this one. They obviously auto-qualify in. As Stephen said, I think UK will pick up some jury votes, so that should make them safe. But if you're getting 7-1, 8-1, and UK, not the worst bet. And then I think Israel and Spain are probably the outsiders for that as well. They'll be automatically in, and maybe someone who just sneaks in from semi-final one, because that's by far the poor semi-final. But I think Germany are worthy favourites in this market.
Stephen, who'd you like for last?
Germany would finish last.
You said that with complete certainty.
Well, the UK song is okay. It's going to get jury points. Spain was actually a contender coming in, but they've made such a mess of it that they're out and they could finish last, but they won't because they'll be placed last in the running order. You can get a bet on that. Darren, will you give us a price on that? Spain being last in the running order, close the show.
But anyway, they could open the show.
Yeah, it could open the show.
No,
yeah.
They can't. No, they're drawn. They're already drawn second half.
Oh, right. Okay. Right.
The automatic qualifiers, the six, the big five plus Israel, they have their draws, and five of them are in the second half. So there's going to be less second half slots left for the semi-finalists. But anyway, Spain will close the show. They'll get some points. Between Israel and Germany. Germany's awful. They're actually not sisters. The band Sisters, singing Sisters, aren't sisters. There you go.
Are Germany that bad, Mark?
Germany are really poor, and you think they should be a lot better than that. Mm-hmm. They are. They're just two young ladies who shout at each other, basically.
Right.
Totally seem to ignore the audience and just scream that they're sisters, which, as has already been alluded to, they're not. I did actually see yesterday that Paddy Power, I don't know whether it's still been offered, there was a Paddy Power bet which was both Germany and the UK to finish in the bottom three at about 2-1. That wouldn't be the worst bet in the world. I take the point that maybe there will be one or two members of the jury who are deranged enough to bet for, you know, to vote for the UK, that, you know, technically, he's not that bad, but
Michael,
the career's just not gone anywhere. And I'm sorry, I can't have it. I think Germany likely to. I think they probably will finish last. I think the UK will finish last. Obviously, Ireland won't qualify. I'll throw in possibly Montenegro as well as another one who could well be up there to finish nil point. And Albania are awful.
And you picked out a special bet there about the UK and Germany.
To finish, the bet was, I don't know if it's still there, but the bet was Germany and UK to both finish in the bottom three, and the grand final was 2-1.
Is that still there, Darren? Do we think?
Yeah, that was still there as of half an hour ago. Okay. That does look a bit. I didn't price that. So.
What price would you have it now?
Distancing himself. What else have you got special markets wise that's interesting?
We'll have a few more in the next few days. I think one for me that I'll be looking out for is to win the jury vote. I think Sweden should be a very sure price in this, and if there's six to four or bigger available, I'll probably be getting involved with that.
Stephen?
Yeah, one interesting one. Now, we've talked a lot about Greece. I think Top Balkan is basically between Greece and North Macedonia. And yes, they're now North Macedonia. Darren, actually, your site says FYR Macedonia. They're actually the FYR Macedonia now. They're North Macedonia. So, but North Macedonia, they've got a really, really good Balkan ballad. I know I hate them, but the vocals are fantastic. So if Greece don't do as well as we expect, only Macedonia can beat them. And they're 6-1 for Top Balkan. That's interesting. Another one, I think Hungary come with a really different song. It's got a real Hungarian feel. This guy finished seventh 2 or 3 years ago. He's well able to perform. His vocals are incredible. So he's shown already that he can contend with televoters as well. I think them for a top 10 finish at 5-1 is interesting. Another one that I think is interesting. Now, Powers don't have this. They don't have a market up on not to qualify. But if you can find a price when you can, so you can get basically 6-4 on Armenia not to qualify from the first semi-final on Thursday night. Now, sorry to give a semi-final tip here, but 12 of the last 22 acts that were drawn won in the semi-finals didn't qualify. So over 50% of acts from stall one don't get through. The second semi-final it's a monster of a semi-final to get through. Six are certain to get through. So there's only four slots for 12 acts remaining. Armenia are not one of the strong ones. I can't believe there's 6-4 out there that they don't get through. So that's also a great bet. They'd be sort of the ones I'd be looking out for on the specials.
Okay, Mark, any special bets from yourself?
Special bets, I certainly would look at Norway to finish in the top 10. That's odds against, and I think that's playable. I'm hoping that they'll have a really, really good semi-final. They are in the group of death, as it would be described in a World Cup. Semi-final one is almost a walkover. Anybody who can turn up and almost sing and hit a chord will qualify. Semi-final two, you hit a duff note, you get slight camera angle wrong, and I don't care who you are. You can be Netherlands, you can be any of the top boys and girls. You're going to struggle to get through. It's really hot. You've got to be on your A game. I think Norway are a bit of value. I think they are a lot of value throughout the whole thing. So I've actually already backed them to finish in the top 10. And I think that would be a special bet. I'm definitely going to avail myself of that Germany-UK in the top three at 2-1, if that's still available. I think that's very, very playable. I thought semi-finals-wise...
Bottom three.
I think they would be the main ones. There are lots of other bets that I will have. But again, as the guys have said all the way through, the semi-finals are the one last chance that we get to have a really good look and see who've got it absolutely right. We ought to stress that there have been a lot of technical issues this year in the auditorium in Tel Aviv. A lot of acts have actually had an extra rehearsal. There have been lots of technical issues. The staging of it has been slightly reduced this year. There's still going to be lots of pyrotechnics. There's still going to be lots of flag waving. There's going to be lots of light changes. But there's going to be less people on stage. The actual auditorium has had issues of getting acts on and off very, very quickly. There are one or two who patently have really struggled. So it's going to be, when we see the semi-finals, it's our last chance to really see how it's going to happen. I would say if we're going to have a bet on the Air Gold Cup, you want to see the Silver Cup. Well, the only chance of seeing the Silver Cup is to watch the semi-finals.
Okay, so the advice, watch the semi-finals. Although if you're watching or listening to this by Friday, never mind, you've had your chance. Outright there, we've done outrights. Naps then, naps guys, for Eurovision 2019. It doesn't have to be an outright selection, it could be whatever you want. Darren Jordan from Paddy Power, what's your best bet for this Eurovision?
It's in the top 10 market. I agree with Stephen. I was looking at Hungary. I think they've got a good chance of getting the top 10, but my nap of the Eurovision is Iceland to finish in the top 10. There is currently 10 to 11 available. We've kind of touched on Iceland already. It's BDSM meets hard rock. if you're watching this with your granny, ask her to go make a cup of tea for this one. You don't want to watch it with her. I just think that it's a love it or hate it song, and they'll get the votes. They might be down the pecking order after the jury vote, but I'd expect them to jump into the top 10 after the televote.
Okay, Iceland top 10, 10 to 11. Stephen, before you give your best bet, would you agree with that one as a good bet, Iceland top 10, 10 to 11?
I was going to tip Iceland to finish 11th or worse in my thing today, but the market price kind of went a bit on it. So they can't all finish in the top 10, and I think the jurors aren't going to like it. So if they finish 4th or 5th in tonight's semi-final, I think they've no chance of being in the top 10. The flip side is Iceland could go and win it. Frank Hickey, friend of the podcast, he's a big Eurovision fan, and he's been back in Iceland since all the songs came out months ago. I could see why you'd like it. It's just not for me. So and I think it's going to struggle with the juries. But I can definitely see why you would. But if Darren wants a match bet, we can have a match bet at evens on that.
Darren,
sounds good to me.
Yeah, fantastic.
Good to me, yeah.
So what was your
arrange Frank could be the broker.
So what was your best bet then, Stephen?
I've been humming and hawing. I was going to say maybe Greece top 10 of 5 to 6 because it strikes me as a wrong price. But my one thing with tipping something like that, which is a wrong price, I don't love the Greek song myself. Look, I've had the biggest bet of my life on the Dutch at 3 to 1. 9 to 4 isn't that far off 3 to 1. I think it's by a mile the best song in the contest, so I'd be inclined to put that up as my best bet. Now, this time last year, I came on the podcast and said I've had the biggest bet of my life on France to win Eurovision. So they finished 13th, so you can take what you want out of that. So Greece top 10 of 5 to 6 is a good bet. If you can get a price in Armenia not to qualify 11 to 8, 6 to 4, that's a great bet. But yeah, the Dutch, I think they're miles ahead, and I think they're going to do it.
Stephen, I agree. I think that the guy, the singer's falsetto is just incredible. His voice is stunning. And Mark Johnson, your best bet of Eurovision?
I've had plenty of bets, and I will have plenty more. The 2-1 on Norway to finish in the top 10, I think, is cracking value. I really do. So juries do tend to like songs that are linked to the nation that are singing them. And I think bringing Sami Jokeling into the Norwegian entry is a good move. So I think 2-1 in to finish in the top 10 is probably the bet of the contest. I have been backing Switzerland since probably about the second week in January. So now they're a much bigger price than they've ever been. So I just keep having to keep going. I'm not going to desert them now. I think they'll finish in the top 5, and that's where I've got them sort of finished top 5 each way. So Switzerland, they're too big now. They really are too big, and I'm just hoping he can get the get it all together on the night, and they get a half decent draw. And I think the most likely winner, I'm afraid to say, the best song, possibly the best performance, and the potential hit out of this Eurovision is the Netherlands. And still over 2-1, 9-4. There was bits of 5-2 yesterday. They're not going to get any bigger. This is, if you want to back them, don't wait. That's what I would say. Back them now, because they ain't going to get, unless suddenly he gets laryngitis, he ain't going to get any bigger.
Well, let's hope he doesn't do. And you've called Kentucky Derbies,
yes,
Grand Nationals, Gold Cups, appearing on this podcast. How does that compare?
Oh, it's right up there. Mark, you know, I've been going on about this for years. I would like to come, and I haven't dragged my foot. Hopefully I've managed to contribute a little bit. I've really enjoyed the guys' insight as well, and I know you and I absolutely adore it. I think it's one of the best nights of the year. I really do. I've really enjoyed it.
Spot on. Well, Mark, it's been a joy having you here.
Thanks,
thank
mate.
You. Thank you, Stephen Cass. Thank you, Darren Jordan. Thanks all for tuning in. Remember, we'll have racing postcasts through the week, and you can watch and listen using YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Do keep with us then through the week, and have a fantastic Saturday evening watching, listening to Eurovision, and hopefully winning a few quid as well. See you next year. Bye-bye.
Right, 10 seconds to promote Paddy Power Games. Paddy Power Games, Paddy Power Games, Paddy Power Games. Advertising. It's easy when you know how. Paddy Power. Enough of the nonsense. 18+, begambleaware.org.